Have you ever felt like a loser? I don't know about you, but I spent a good portion of my life feeling inferior. I felt like I needed to be fixed or repaired. I certainly didn't feel like I was good enough or that I measured up to other people. I didn't even like myself. And this is one of the reasons why I have focused my coaching efforts on helping Christian women with their self-image and really being able to see themselves with a biblical lens. You know, just thinking about those times when I didn't even like me, I spent time wondering, you know, why God made other people better than He made me. And as silly as that sounds, you know, I think I had in my head this image of like an assembly line with God. You know, He's putting everybody together, fashioning everyone exactly the way He wants them. He puts them together in their mother's womb, and He's like, you know, this one I'm going to make a winner, and this one I'll make a winner. Yep, she's a winner. That one right there, not a winner. She's a loser. She's going to struggle. Yep, that's what I want to make her. That's kind of just how, if I get real about it, that's how I was thinking in my mind. It's so off. We recognize that now. I mean, it sounds so silly, but a lot of Christian ladies think like that. They think that God makes winners and losers. Well, today we're going to set the record straight. God does not make losers. And that's great news. And another bit of good news is that He doesn't make winners either. You're going to love this revelation, my friend. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Are you tired of feeling like you never measure up? Are you tired of setting goals but giving up on yourself before you ever cross the finish line? Are you ready to live a life that you actually enjoy? Oh, girl, you're in the right place. Are you ready to experience confidence like you never have before? You are in the right place. God made you powerful and capable. And if you struggle to see yourself that way, I believe it's because your self-image has become distorted. My name is Tina Feemster. I'm a trained and certified Christian self-image coach, and God has placed a call on my heart to reach Christian women who struggle with how they see themselves. When you learn the truth about who you are in Him and who He is in you, your whole life will be renewed and improved in a way that only God can orchestrate. I'm going to help you discover the incredible way that God put you together. Settle in, sis, and get cozy. We're going to talk about it.
We love winning, don't we? To be the first in the game or a contest, that's the ultimate achievement of that particular moment. We love the feeling of winning, and we love seeing our favorite team or contestant win, or our friends and family. We love to see them win. We invest a lot of emotion in the contest, and it feels good to come out on top no matter what the contest is. Like, we love being a winner. How awesome would it be to wake up every day feeling like a winner? I don't know about you, but I personally don't know anyone that wakes up every day feeling like that. But I bet it would be nice if it's just to have those really amazing feelings every single day. We have a tendency to focus on everything about ourselves that's wrong. You know, we're too fat, we're too flabby, we're too emotional, we're too loud, we're too fearful. Oh, I used to think there were so many things wrong about me that needed to be fixed. I would work to come up with all of these plans and strategies that would finally, you know, make me right. I'd start following the plan that I had worked so hard on. I'd hit a struggle point and quit, and, you know, that ultimately meant that I completely stopped doing whatever it was that I was doing to fix myself and just piled on more evidence that I was truly a loser. So imagine my surprise one day when Holy Spirit told me He did not create me to be a winner. Like, I'm in the shower. Doesn't God talk to you when you're in the shower? He does me. Like, those are the moments, like, it really comes through. It's really strong and clear. But that day, the Lord said, Tina, I did not make you to be a winner. I did not create you. Excuse me. These were the words. I did not create you a winner. And I remember just, like, kind of stopping in my tracks. Like, it was a bit of a gut punch. And, like, well, then there's only one other option here. Like, Lord, did you make me to lose, like, you know. But the Lord said, I didn't make you to be a winner, but I didn't make you to be a loser either. I don't create you a winner or a loser. I created you to be a chooser. And I'm telling you, like, I knew this was a profound moment. I knew that this was revelation. Like, God did not create me to be a winner. He did not create me as a loser. He created me as a chooser. I seriously, like, it took my breath away and just, like, paralyzed me. It was so profound in that moment. It was huge. God was showing me, taking me deeper into an understanding of who He created me to be. My self-image definitely needed some clarity. So I sat for that with that thought for a while and realized that being a winner is an amazing experience. We all know this. But being a chooser, guys, that's even better. Choosing is power. Choosing is freedom. He made us natural born choosers. He doesn't make winners or losers. He only makes choosers. When we are comparing ourselves to someone else and we see them as they're like, they have it all together, and, you know, we kind of have that jealousy that's working there. We're like, you know, feel like we're missing out on the best life because we're not as good as they are or whatever. This is the enemy's ploy to steal from us the joy in our journey, to make us think somehow that God made us inferior. I think you would agree with me that we have this innate desire to choose. That desire is in us because God created us to be choosers. Remember when you were younger and your mama took your power of choice away? Like, she says, you can't wear your hair that way, or you can't wear those clothes, or you can't hang out with those kids, or go there, or do that. We hated being controlled, didn't we? We wanted to be in control of our own lives and our own decisions. Like, having the power to choose is part of how we are wired. We are truly natural born choosers. We're made that way. One afternoon last summer, my 4-year-old grandbaby Luna did not want to get out of the swimming pool. She was having so much fun, but she had been in there a long time. It was time to get out. She was resisting with all of her might, protesting, ignoring, crying, giving it everything, you know. And it was not until she was given the power of choice that she decided to comply with her mother's wishes. You know, Luna, you have two choices. You can stay in the pool and make me come in and get you out, which will mean you go to timeout, or you can be obedient and get out of the pool on your own and not have timeout. Which choice do you want to make? Well, I'm going to tell you, she got out on her own. She wanted to avoid discipline, but she also was given the opportunity to exercise her power of choice. She could choose whether she was going to go to timeout or get out of the pool on her own. Her choices were limited, but she still had the power to choose. Her power wasn't taken away from her. So she was allowed to weigh her options and, you know, make her decision. I think that's so genius. It's such a great parenting little technique that you guys can use. But when we are given a choice, it feels like we've been honored, like we feel loved. We feel like we're seen. And when our ability to choose is taken away, it feels like we're oppressed. And so we push back. And if her mama had continued to control her by robbing her of choice, she would have continued to resist and rebel. Why? Because taking away choice promotes rebellion. If we cannot make a choice, we cannot be who God made us to be. It goes against our very nature. So, you know, think back to those days. Did you ever sneak and do something your parents told you you were not allowed to do? You were exercising choice. I'm not saying it was right. You were definitely a rebel. I was a rebel. But God did create us to be choosers. He showed us love and honor by making all of us choosers. Having the ability to choose is power. When I tell you that you are powerful, and I mentioned that a lot in this podcast, I spent so many years feeling, you know, not like I wasn't powerful at all, but I was powerful. God had given me this power inside that was part of me that I needed to tap into that I didn't know how to tap into. I really didn't even know I had it. But when I tell you you're powerful, this is where some of that power comes from. It is the ability to choose. So when I realized that God had made me a chooser, there were some decisions that I made. One of those decisions was that I chose to never again allow myself to feel inferior. Lay aside this idea that God made you inferior. He did not. Listen, the only way to create a winner is to also create a loser. So if God's going to create a winner, then he would have to create a loser. And that would have resulted in inequity. And the scripture tells us that God created us and knows us as equals. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, "The Lord shows no partiality." In Romans chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 10, it says that God does not show favoritism. If he's making winners and losers, he's showing favoritism. And the Bible clearly tells us that he is not partial and he does not show favoritism. So he did not make winners and losers. He creates only choosers. He makes us perfectly who we are. You, my friend, are not a mistake. I'm not a mistake. We are not inferior. So I came to the end of being focused on fixing me when I learned that truth. The truth that God loved me and honored me by making me a chooser meant that I did not need to be fixed. I just needed to make choices that would lead me where I wanted to go and help me become who I wanted to be. God has made us choosers. We aren't someone that needs to be fixed. He made you perfectly you. All right, the second thing is that I chose to become the best chooser I could be. Like, whether we're making a simple decision or a difficult decision, a boring decision, an exciting decision, it doesn't matter. If we're making a decision, we have options there, and our lives are going to follow those choices that we make. So, you know, make the choice that carries you to the place that you believe that you want to go, that God wants you to, that direction that God wants you to go. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God tells us that he has set before us life and death, and that we should choose the path that leads to life. We have so many options out there. Not all of them lead to life. Many lead to pleasure, but not all of them lead to life. I studied the experience of Adam and Eve in the garden, and the more I look at that, I realize just how big of a weasel the enemy is. He literally just works his way in there and focuses our attention on the option that leads to death. He has an agenda there that he's trying to work. He's trying to lead us with options. He's trying to lead us to the one that is death. He makes it appealing by deceiving. He comes to us, remember, to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life, abundant life. We need to follow the choice that leads to life. That's the one Jesus is part of. So often, I think we just fail to slow down and consider all of the different paths that we can take, and we choose quickly, too quickly. We go with the one that's, you know, the bright, shiny thing, and we really need to spend some time exploring possibilities. You know, why do we want to make this choice, and make sure that the choice that we make is leading to life? All right. So, you know, thinking back to my grandbaby, she was only given two options at the pool that day. And if you find yourself with limited options, choose the one that gives you the most peace. If you have 100, choose the one that gives you the most peace. I've learned that as I journey through life, choices will carry me places, but they also carry emotions, just like a suitcase carries my clothing. Those decisions are going to carry emotions. I'm going to have a feeling associated with the choices that I make. Those choices can carry joy and comfort and peace and hope, or even pain, shame, pride, and despair. I mean, you know, if you've ever known someone that's carried baggage, like life's heavy baggage, you know that that baggage, that heaviness, is packed in there from the choices that they've made or choices that have been made for them. So if you're carrying heaviness because of some choices that you have made, you can choose to lay that heaviness at the feet of our Savior. You can cast your heaviness on him and trade that for the peace and the contentment that comes with the choice of releasing your burden to him. releasing that choice to Him, getting it under the blood. So take your time, my friend, and consider all of the options. The last thing I want to say is that I chose to make decisions that helped me become who I wanted to be. Just think about it. Like, who are you wanting to become? Who do you want to grow into? We are always growing, no matter how old we are, no matter how much time we've spent on this planet. We're always growing. What do you want to become that you aren't right now? Do you want to become stronger, thinner, more fit, more financially stable? You know, a better friend, a better wife, a better mom? We literally can design the life that we have dreamed of with the choices that we make. You can become through those choices. In fact, where we are today and who we are today is because of the choices that we have made. So my friend, God made us to be choosers. He did not make winners. He did not make losers. He created the most powerful people by making us choosers. I love you. Until next time.
If you've enjoyed our time together today, please don't keep it to yourself. Spread the love and share the episode with a friend who could use a boost of inspiration, some revelation. That would be awesome. Also, request to join our free Facebook community. It's called Renewed and Radiant. You'll find the link in our show notes for this episode. We would love to have you join us. And one more thing. If you have found value in our conversation today, would you please take a moment and leave a review? Scroll all the way down on your device and click write a review. It's a little bitty spot way at the bottom. If you could leave a review, that would help me reach more ladies who need to join our community of faith-driven self-image warriors. Until next time, my friends, stay blessed, stay radiant, and always remember that your self-image is a masterpiece being revealed. I'll catch you in the next episode.